I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Joining us now, Ryan Iverson, who we have on from time to time, talk high school sports, college sports, and a whole lot more. I said I ran into it the parking lot at Kowalski's last night. We had a nice visit, as we always do.
Were you driving a Hummer, Mac D?
Of course. What else would I drive? 2006 Hummer, 175,000 miles.
You're ready for battle, just in case.
Did you see, I got, like I said, mine's a 2006 with 170,000 miles on it. But the new one that they're coming out with starts at 112 grand. So that's got your name written all over it.
I was going to say, you could get two or three of them for the whole family.
Yeah, that's true. That'd be a good way to do it. Then we all just get different colors so we know, right?
Yep.
You don't even want to know. I donated two cars to Teen Challenge last week, not because I didn't want the cars, because the cars didn't work anymore, and I had no options. That's not a good feeling, Ryan. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you. I hear you.
Let's start with last night's game. What'd you think?
Really disappointed and shocked, to be honest with you. I thought Gonzaga was head and shoulders above everyone else this year, and to be honest, it was the first time they got punched in the mouth early, and I don't think they could ever recover from it. And I think you give all the credit in the world to Baylor and just how good defensively they are. They weren't scared, and they attacked Gonzaga. And Gonzaga, that's the problem when you're undefeated and you haven't had a lot of close games. Sometimes you don't know how to respond in that situation. I think that showed last night.
What I think is going to be interesting that comes out of this as well, the tournament, I mean, is this transfer portal has become such a big piece of basketball right now. Liam Robbins going to the transfer portal today. That tells you that Ed Conway probably not going to be back. His uncle is assistant coach. Here they're going to get Travis Jackson, the guy that Ben played with in Northwestern, will be on the staff. Dave Thorson may be on the staff. But if you're Baylor or you're Gonzaga and you get that kind of marketing exposure, and this transfer portal is this big, just think, I mean, you can just pick and choose great players if you want to fill a void next year, can't you?
Well, and just look at the tournament this year. Look at Johnny Juzang at UCLA.
Yeah.
I didn't even realize he was at Kentucky.
I didn't
year.
Either, and they start telling the story. He started at Kentucky, you know?
Yep. And Gonzaga, Nembhard, the point guard, he was from Florida. So, I mean, there's transfers all over. And then with COVID and kind of the
in your free year.
Yeah, the free release this year, it's going to be crazy. You're going to have so many new faces. Half the Wisconsin Badgers are leaving. A lot of the Gophers are leaving. It's going to be crazy next year.
Well, if the Gophers lose Robbins and Carr, Ben Johnson, but, I mean, he's got some guys coming in, but holy cow. I mean, and Gabe Kelscher's in the portal. I mean, I don't know how you begin to rebuild that thing.
Well, but you got to think, what are you rebuilding? You lose those three guys from a pretty poor team this year. You know what I mean?
I know, yeah.
So maybe he's got a couple guys up his sleeve he's already been talking to. Maybe some of these local Minnesota kids who were playing at Wisconsin or at other places will want to come back and play for him now. That would be exciting, too.
Yeah, that would be the play here, is if you can get a couple of those big-timers that, Kerwin Walton.
So, Maxie, I was talking to a friend the other day. Think about all the Minnesota kids the last couple of years, from even going back to Tyus Jones, Trey Jones, McKinley Wright, Theo John.
How about Gary Trent Jr.? He's doing okay
Gary
in Portland.
Gary Trent Jr., Matthew Hurt. Think of all the talent.
Freddie Gillespie. The list goes on and on.
And if Ben does the job I think he's going to do and he's capable of doing, I know for a fact he's already spent multiple hours talking to local AAU coaches since he's been hired. If he can just get the in-state kids to stay here, Chet Holmgren this year, for example, is probably too late in the game for
too
that.
Late, yeah.
Think of the squad we would have. It would be amazing.
Do you like the college game right now, the way it's played?
I like it better than the NBA game, I'll tell you that much. What I loved about Gonzaga, to be honest, is as much individual talent as they had, they shared the ball.
Yes,
so
they did.
And they moved. And it wasn't just isolation, everyone out for themselves. And that's why I thought, as an analyst going into that game last night, even though Baylor is great defensively, it's not iso ball. And they were so beautiful synced on how they moved. I was shocked to see a team actually put them in check and limit them offensively. So I love how Gonzaga plays. I love, I don't love all the three-point shooting because they're not good three-point shooters.
No.
You know what I mean? If you're a great three, like, you know, and you take Gabe Kalashar, for example, I mean, this great shooter, he's shooting 24% from the three-point line.
Why is that, though? I mean, is it because they do such a good job of defending and disrupting, or are they still at an age where they just haven't shot enough shots that it's easy to them?
I think it's a couple of things. I think when you watch, and you know, you have a son in youth basketball, you watch it at every level, they're jacking threes up.
Oh, God, are they jacking threes up. Their elbows off to the side, and they're just barely getting it up there, but they're jacking them up.
Yeah, and if I know you're not a threat to go to the rim anymore, I mean, I can be all over you. I can really contest that shot. You look at guys who right now the best scorer in the NBA is Kevin Durant, right?
Yep.
Maybe James Harden. He shoots a lot of threes, but both of them can get to the rim at any time, and they can still shoot mid-range jump shots. You look at Kyrie Irving, mid-range jump shots. Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, the best scorers could shoot threes occasionally and occasionally get hot, but you have to have the basketball still basketball. You know, and you look at Baylor, they shot the ball really well from three, but they won because they attacked the rim and they defended. And those two things are going to come back around in basketball. You watch the cycle of basketball.
If you were recruiting a program right now, and you're, what position would you want to get first?
Yeah, I think you get a really, really good point guard, an unselfish point guard who's going to make others better. Because you can surround him, you can get two shooters. You can find shooters everywhere. And that's why I think Chet Holmgren too. You get a guy like that who can protect the rim, it allows your defenders. I remember, Mike, I played with Joel Prisbilla in AAU, and I was not a good defender. I reached and gambled, but I got so many steals because I was so aggressive. Because I knew if I got beat, I had a human fly swatter behind me ready to protect the rim, you know?
And not to mention, if they do kick out, you can just stay on the perimeter. So when they try to kick it out, you're there as opposed to, you try to help. Yep. You don't have to try to help.
And the other thing, when you look at Baylor, what they did is they dominated Gonzaga rebounding. And that sounds so boring to say, but if you control rebounding and protect the rim, and it allows your guards to defend that three-point line, teams don't know what to do. Gonzaga didn't know what to do. They weren't getting open looks, and look at how it affected them.
Yeah, for sure. It's amazing, even a team that's been unbeaten like that, they looked last night like they had never seen anything like that, didn't they?
Yeah, they looked lost, and they looked shell-shocked. And I would have liked to seen as good as, you know, Suggs really had a great second half, and tremendous, tremendous player. What a talent. I wanted to see him come out in the beginning and set that tone. You know what I mean? And had a lot of, 15 or 17 points in the second half when it kind of was already decided. I was just shocked. You give all the credit in the world to Baylor. They were by far the more aggressive team, deserved to win.
High school tournament starts. We've got a couple of coaches on here tonight. In 4A, with Champlin getting knocked off, to me, my immediate impulse would be that would make Wayzata the prohibitive favorite. Do you agree? You've seen some of these teams.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think Wayzata is definitely the favorite. Champlin Park had a great big guy and good guards, well-coached, and I was shocked to see them get beat by Maple Grove. But I just love how Wayzata plays. I love how they're coached. Brian Schnettler is a wonderful coach, and they remind me, not obviously as athletic, but they play like a Gonzaga, where they just move the ball, they're free-flowing, they don't care who's hot, who gets the credit. They got a big guy by the name of Carter Bjerke, and I don't know if you've seen him play before, Matt.
Just the highlights.
You know, he's, I don't know, 6'7", 6'8", just a big body, but he's a great shooter, so he can extend the defense. And they got one of 37 Benegas that still is in the Wayzata school district playing, who's tough as nails. So they're a good team. It's
and then they
fun.
Got the Hyde kid that the Gophers want and others, right?
Yeah, athletic, can really jump, and you finish, you can shoot. So they kind of got it all. And it's in watching them, it's kind of the first time in a long time where you haven't had that one dominant team. You know what I mean? We've usually have had a Hopkins or a Creighton or an Apple Valley or an Eden Prairie last year that was kind of a clear-cut favorite. I think Wayzata is the favorite, but I think it's pretty well balanced this year, and it makes for a fun state tournament.
Yeah, because one thing about Shakopee, they're sitting out there, they don't play afraid.
Nope, and they're always under the radar. Those kids are well coached, they're smart, they're tough, and they kind of play with a chip on their shoulder, because I feel like no one ever talks about Shakopee, whether it's for football or basketball, and they're always right in the mix.
Now, clearly Minnehaha would be the favorite if you just had a one-class field.
Yep.
They've beaten all challengers. They beat Hopkins bad. They beat Minneapolis North bad. They beat Waseca bad. I mean, they beat teams, and they beat them bad throughout the year that dared to play them. But it would be kind of fun if you threw them all together, because this year I think you'd see, you know, with Minneapolis North in there, Waseca, Totino Grace got beat by Minnehaha in the section finals. They'd be a viable. You'd have a pretty good tournament, big school to small school.
Well, in my sophomore year, Mike, at Eden Prairie was the last year where we had one state champion. And I know you brought up Minnehaha just to get under my skin a little bit.
Yeah, you lost to him, and that was before Minnehaha was Minnehaha.
Right,
and exactly. Eden Prairie was this great big school in the suburbs. They were never going to lose to this small private school.
And that's what made it great, you know. And there's a school named Fertile Batrami, and I don't know if you remember them or not, but they gave Minneapolis North all they could handle.
That's who they played in the championship.
Yep, and that was really fun, and I'd love to see them go back to that, where you just get the 16 best teams regardless of class. Obviously, football you can't do it with the numbers, but basketball I think you can do it. And you're looking at De La Salle of the years past, of obviously Minnehaha Academy, Minneapolis North. You got a lot of schools that are smaller that might make a run at it, that very well could win it. So it'd be really fun to see that.
Yeah, Caledonia doesn't have their star player, and they still made the state. If they had the
how about this? I've proposed this before, and it always got shot down. But what if you take the champions at all classes and then put them together and have a tournament?
That'd be fun too. It was just that by that time, they're going to be graduated from high school. The way that's going this spring, you know what I'm saying?
We always need more content, actually.
All right, give us one piece of advice for your off season. If you've got your kid in the summer programs like you do, what do you look for? Is it developing fundamentals, or do you just like to see him play against a lot of different players and find out what the competition is?
I think it's a healthy combination of both. I think it takes both. I think you got to spend the individual time. And one of the things that so many kids don't do is, and one thing that, you know, kids in my generation, we did is we'd make a list of what our weaknesses were. And it was okay. Hey, I can't go left. Or, hey, I can't shoot from the corner. Whatever it might be, take that weakness and design a workout so you can make that into a strength. And take a constant inventory of where you're at and be honest with yourself. And then you turn those weaknesses into strengths. And then you take all that fundamentals and all that conditioning and strength, all the stuff that's really important. Then you go out and you play in the night, in the afternoon, and you work on those same things that you just practiced. I feel like kids now, so much of it is either just playing or they're just doing one-on-zero drills, so they never incorporate it into playing. I think you have to have a healthy dose of both of those.
Appreciate it, sir. Hope we can talk soon.
All right, Max, you're the band. Thanks again for having me.
You bet. Ryan Iverson, nice enough to join us in News Talk 830 WCCO, breaking it all down.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.